Let's get into the Word of God, man. I'm excited about this series, Game Changers. Game Changers. Amen. Amen. I have our Grammy Award winning Game Changer in the house. I am justified, man. He's here. Amen. Dude is dope. Steady increasing on the charts, is playing on 97.9, and he'll be here September 18th performing Steady Increasing right here on this stage. Want you to be here, man. Who throws up a rap artist in the middle of worship on a Sunday? The Word Church. We do it. Because we're game changers. We're game changers, man. We're here to change the game. What is a game changer? Dictionary.com defines game changer as a person or thing that dramatically changes the course, strategy, character, etc. of something. A person or thing that dramatically changes the course, strategy, character, etc. of something. In sports, a game changer is an athlete, play, etc. that suddenly changes the outcome of a game or contest. I sat at home yesterday. It's been a long week. Some 14, 16-hour days. Sat at home yesterday and worked. I wasn't sitting at home just chilling, but I was working. But I had an opportunity to enjoy some football. I'm a basketball and football fan. Really hadn't gotten into tennis. Played golf. Golf is a very therapeutic sport, but it's not something that I like to watch. Can't really get with soccer. Baseball is too slow, but if you go to a game, it's pretty decent. Football and basketball, on the other hand, keep you on the edge of your seat. Yesterday, had an opportunity to watch the University of Houston Cougars take on the Oklahoma Sooners. And I spoke with a group of pastors on Friday. And I told them Friday night that the Cougars was going to win. And to get all spooky and tell them that the Lord told me. But I just knew. You know, some people put the Lord on everything. The Lord spoke over this booty, and I believe that the Holy Ghost is wrapped up in this booty. Y'all know some of them extra churchy people. But yesterday, man, I was watching the football game, man, and it was a good game. It was a good game. And they were going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, man. And for a period of time, I was just waiting for Oklahoma just to dominate. But then there was a play that happened. Oklahoma and their field goal kicker decided that they was going to kick this long field goal. I didn't see why they did it. A punt should have been what they did, but they kicked this long field goal. So the guy missed the field goal. Everybody is thinking, oh, well, the ball just went out of bounds. They'll start here like on the 50-yard line. We don't have anything to worry about. Well, the University of Houston Cougars were prepared for him to miss the field goal. So the University of Houston Cougars they have a guy that's all the way in the back of the end zone. The ball comes all the way almost out of bounds. They had to review it because it looked like his foot was out of bounds. That's how close it was. It was like inches away from being out of bounds. But he caught it. And the boy started running. I'm telling you, this boy was running like the popos was behind him. That boy was gone. But before Oklahoma realized that he had the ball, it was too late. So Oklahoma started running after him. And wouldn't you know, one of his own teammates almost tackled him. Teammate rolling around on the ground. I pray that the coach had that boy doing suicides, wind sprints, doing something. Look how you embarrassed us on national TV, rolling Ryan on the ground like that. And so the guy had to jump over and hurdle his own man because his man almost tackled him. That's why you have to be careful about the people that say that they're on your team. The enemy can't stop you, but what happens when somebody wearing the same jersey try to put salt in the game? But he jumped over his teammate, man. I can't even say his opponent, but he jumped over his teammate, and the brother scored the touchdown. Changed the game. It was a game changer. From that point, Oklahoma was never, ever able to come back. It was a done deal. God is waiting for some of us to catch that ball. Because the enemy don't think that you're going to move. The enemy don't think that you're going to run. The enemy think you're going to talk a whole bunch of talk, but you're going to stay right there. And so the enemy, he believes you ain't going to do nothing, so he's not even prepared for you to move. But what happens when you start moving now and nothing is in front of you? Literally, you can change the game. With my business mind, and I'm always thinking on the other side, using the left side of my brain, BusinessDictionary.com defines game changer as a personal idea that transforms the accepted rules. Somebody say accepted. Accepted rules, processes, strategies, and management of business functions typically leads a movement of related businesses in the same direction. A game changer. It's 2016, 30 years ago, 1986. Couldn't go to one store and get some spam. And biscuits and eggs and bacon. And in that same store, yeah, my mama used to make spam, put it in the skillet till it popped in the middle. Yeah. She was trying to kill me before I even, we'll deal with that later. Called it a spam burger. What? Spam burger. Spam now, tear up your computer. She's trying to tear up my computer, Ray. Feeding me spam. In that same store, you never thought that you would be able to get your eyes checked and get you some glasses. In that same store, you never thought that you would be able to get some clothes, get your kids some uniforms. In that same store, you never thought that you would be able to get stationery. In that same store, you never thought that you'd be able to get thank you cards. In that same store, you never thought that you'd be able to buy a bicycle. In that same store, you never thought you'd be able to buy a gun. In that same store, you never thought that you'd be able to get a TV. In that same store, you never thought that you'd be able to buy a book. In that same store, you never thought that you'd be able to buy fabric. In that same store, you never thought that you'd be able to buy a weight bench. In that same store, you never thought that you'd be able to buy a lawnmower. In that same store, you never thought that you'd be able to get your oil changed. Now Walmart has changed the game that you can go to one store and any and everything that you want, they have. That was a game changer. So now every other store, they're trying to figure out the next move that Walmart is going to do, because Walmart literally have changed the game. But what troubles me the most is I think some of you all don't think that you Walmart. You're trying to be the best Joe V's, but God has called you to be Walmart. And so you're looking over somebody else's shoulder trying to do what they're doing, but just try to do it a little bit better. But God say, I called you to be the best you that you could ever, be. The best you that you could ever be. This month, not going to do too much of, Jesus died, and Jesus went to camp. Not going to do too much of that. Not going to get him out the grave. Even though our message this morning does kind of find us talking about him right at 40 days after that. But I'm not going to have real churchy type messages, because I really want to use the word of God this month to motivate you to your best you. I want to motivate you to be a game changer. So I know this may not be the normal message that some of us have come to expect in church. And we're the game changers, so I can't give you something that somebody else is doing. I want us to leave out of this place changing the world, because what upsets me the most is you are a child of God and we don't even know the power that we have. We don't even know what we embody. We don't even know what we carry to be a child of God. And that's why it's so hard for us to convert people in the streets to be Christians, is because every time they look at us, we're climbing the rough side of the mountain. Every time they look at us, we asking them, can we borrow $50? So how is it that you believe in God and your God has access to everything in the kingdom, yet you have the worst testimony of anybody in the world? But I want to push you this month. It's going to be a very brutal, upfront, in your face, chest punching month, where I want to challenge you to be the best that you can be. Because somebody's on Facebook right now prophesying, talking about this is the ninth month and I'm going to give birth. birth to my vision. I'm gonna give birth to everything God has put. 9 months, a mother gives birth in 9 months, and it's September. I endured jealousy in January. I endured fake friends in February. I endured maliciousness in March. I endured anger in April. I endured messy people in May. June just wasn't for me. July, I had to jump over my haters. August, it was all or nothing. And thank God, he's about to save me in September. But you're lying to yourself. Because you're not going to give birth to nothing, because when God planted the seed inside of you, you blocked the seed with a plan B. And you good church people don't know about that plan B pill. But what happens is, oh, I'm sorry. But that's what happens when God gives us a word, when God gives us directive, when God gives us a vision. Yet in our mind, we have a plan B. Well, God, that's too big. Let's do this. So I can't give birth to what God is calling me to, because every time God calls me to the carpet, he's calling me to the carpet and he's challenging me. He's calling me to the carpet. God is not going to tell you to do nothing that you can do within your own power, within your own might. But I began to make God small in the earth realm, because I won't move forward in who he has called me to be. Many of you all, you are kings, you are queens. You're not diamonds in the rough. You're a diamond right now, but you have settled for living the life of a cubic zirconia because you're afraid when the light hits you, it ain't gonna shine. Baby, you can a diamond, you're not really able to tell how much that diamond is. You're not able to tell how valuable that diamond is until it get in the light. But sometime the light is hot, so you are upset because now in your life is hot. The pressure is on you. But God say the pressure is only on you because I'm trying to prove to you how valuable of a diamond you really are. But in that same light, God is able to expose that cubic zirconia ain't real. Hallelujah. Let me go and get into the word of God. This month we're going to look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts is written by Luke. Luke actually picks up his book of Luke and he elongates it into the book of Acts. After Jesus died, Jesus didn't immediately leave and go to glory. He spends 40 days with his disciples. And at that time, he's training them. He's preparing them because he's about to leave, and he's leaving his representatives behind. Scripture tells us here, Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 6, Jesus is about to leave. And Jesus, as he's about to leave, his disciples ask him, "All right now, Master, you're about to get ready to go. You about to give us the keys? We ready. Bow, bow, bow." "What do you mean, Pastor Jay?" "Well, the Old Testament tells us that there was going to be a Messiah that was going to come. And when he came, the government was going to be on his shoulders. So the people that are following Jesus are expecting not that the government of the kingdom is going to be on his shoulder, but they are believing that he is going to help them overthrow Rome." He's about to leave and they're confused. And they're like, "Hey, Caesar's still in his spot. How in the world are we supposed to be in authority and Caesar is still in control? Is now the time?" And so then Jesus tells them in verse 7, "The times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority. And it is not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power." Not just running around the church slobbering and speaking in tongues. When the Holy Spirit come upon you, you're going to be filled with power. "Power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all of to the ends of the earth." In verse 9, say, "After saying this, he was taken up to heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight." Verse 10 said, "They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away, when two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, 'Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you saw him go into heaven.'" Aaron, let's go to this next slide, because I really want to illuminate a couple of words in this conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. Verse 10 said, "They still had their eyes fixed on the sky." They still. He's gone, But they're still, and they still standing there. No movement has happened. They just staring in the sky. Verse 11 says that there were two men that appeared. These could have been the same two men that appeared when Jesus had got up out of the grave and he was no longer in the tomb. And the scripture said that they had gone to the grave that morning. And there were two men that stood there and told him, "Why seek thou the living among the dead?" Now we have two men who are basically coming, giving the same word again, saying, "Why are you standing there looking up at the sky?" So what I want to do is, I want to look at this. Jesus is telling them in verse 8 that you're going to receive something that's crazy. You're going to receive something that will overtake you. You're going to receive something that's going to turn your life upside down. You're going to receive something that will cause you to be a game changer. But when he left, they were still standing there looking. So now my question is what God promised you, is it being held up because you're still standing there looking? I apologize. I don't have on the shiny white like the two men had. But I got on this pink and white, pink and gray, pink and something shirt and some gray pants. And I'm coming, and I want to be the same that these two men were to you. What are you still looking at? Are you looking at the fact that possibly you don't have enough money for it? Yeah, it sounds good, Pastor Jay. You tell me that I can do it. I can go. I can move. I can push. But you don't know all these bills I gotta pay. Are you still looking because you're trying to figure out who you can call to help you do it because in your own power you feel that you're inadequate? Are you still looking because the task is so big you're trying to really convince yourself that it was you that God was talking to? Whatever the excuse is that you hadn't moved, you're still standing there. And nobody is going to be able to change the game but you. The only way that we can change the game this morning is that we get in the game. So this month, Game Changers will bless you because Game Changers is going to talk about these 12 men that went through Judea, that went through Samaria, that went through the uttermost parts of the world, speaking and teaching about a thought process that there was a man by the name of Jesus who died and he got up with all power in his hands, and that if you believe, you will be a Christian and then you too will be able to do greater works. You too will be able to be along with him and be like him, and you too will have everlasting life. These 12 men had to endure something that nobody else endured. But because of the resilience of these 12 men, we are able to be called Christians because they did not give up. So I am going to challenge you this month through messages such as game-changing faith, game-changing vision, game-changing persistence, game-changing relationships. Because some of us are connected to some people that can't change the game. They have been barred from playing the game. You wonder why you're losing is because they have been disqualified a long time ago. There was a game that I was watching last night. It was LSU. They was playing Wisconsin. And there was a Wisconsin safety who caught an interception. And the guy that played for LSU was so upset that they were losing because they should not have lost to Wisconsin. He took it out on his opponent. Not only did he get a foul, not only was there a flag thrown, not only did the other team benefit because they were penalized, but he got ejected from the game. When you are ejected from the game, you can't even sit on the sidelines anymore. When you are ejected from the game, you have to leave from the premises of other players. Why are you still trying to invite people to the game that have been ejected? All right. That was a moment to dab right there. But today we're going to talk about getting in the game. Because you can't have game-changing faith if you're sitting on the sideline. You can't have game-changing vision if you're sitting on the sidelines. Because there were some people who were just excited to be at NRG yesterday. Oh, Lord, we're here. We at the game, y'all. They on Facebook. They checking in. They done took 17 different selfies trying to let everybody know we here. We stunned. We ain't even in the nosebleed section. We sitting on the 50-yard line. We want everybody to know that we are here. But you can be in the stands, and most people in the stands are very critical of the people that are playing the game. I say that again. Most people in the stands are very critical of the people that are playing the game, because most of the people that hate on my boy Kobe Bryant ain't never shot a shot in their life. They don't even know what basketball is like. But if you've had to sacrifice, if you've had to change your diet, if you've been in the weight room, if you've had to endure being injured, if you've had to come back and win your spot because you were hurt and somebody else was put in before you, if you've been in the gym when nobody else was there, you appreciate the sacrifice that they've went through. I said this on the South Side. I got to tell you this again. You will not win a championship with popcorn on your breath. It's a whole bunch of people that's just glad to be here. I just want to come and get some popcorn. I just want to come and get a Slurpee. Well, I'm not just talking to people today who are spectators, but I want to talk to some champions who are about to get in the game, who are about to change the way the game is played, who I know is more than five people, who are about to redo how things were done. Is it anybody in here that I can identify this morning? I really don't need about 21 of y'all that's going to say, Pastor Jay, this month I'm going to change the game. I'm going to change the game for me. I'm going to change the game for my children. After I get through changing this game, the people that come behind me, they are going to look at me and I'm going to be the example. They're going to see how to keep on going when you've been lied on. They're going to see how to keep on pushing when you don't have a dime in your pocket. They're going to see how to bounce back when everything seems like it has bounced away from you. I'm about to change the game, but you can't change it if you're not in the game. Y'all sit down. This morning, I got 6 points real quick. 6 points I want to give you. I'm going to bless you. 12:28. I'm going to give you these 6 points in 12 minutes, 2 minutes per point. If you don't catch it, God bless you. But I'm going to go and move and get the Lord my best in 12 minutes. Where I'm coming from this morning, I'm coming from scriptures that were recorded in the Gospels. Bless you. Bless you. You're already changing the game. But I want to tell you that even more is coming your way. Bless you. That's why you won't give up, Char, because she gave you the blueprint. That's what game changers do. I might not ever see the fullness of what I'm doing in my lifetime, but I know my kids gonna be better when I get through with this. But my message is coming from what Jesus gave his disciples. These words were recorded in the four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And these, you would think that after the disciples already knowing this, that there would not have been a problem with them getting in the game. But what fear does, fear causes me to ignore what I already know and start believing something that's not true. Fear causes me to believe something that's not true and ignore what I already know. Fear will have me believe that I'm going to die from this, but I know that by his stripes I'm already healed. And fear will start to have me believing something that's not true. So I want to just repeat to you what the disciples already knew. So if I was talking to them, it would just be repetitive. For some of you, you've heard it before, but just listen. And for some of you who haven't heard it, this will be the first time. 6 reasons why you need to get in the game. First reason why you need to get in the game is because you were handpicked for this. It was no accident. Stop trying to tell yourself that God was supposed to give that to somebody else. Stop trying to believe that that book that's in your spirit, that God was supposed to give that to somebody else, that you actually eavesdropped in on their conversation. It was never meant for me. God never would have wasted time coming to your house, tapping you on your shoulder, speaking to you, and giving you this amazing idea if he never intended for you to be the one to bring the idea to pass. You were handpicked for this. You were handpicked for this. Look at what the scripture says. Jesus tells his disciples, I do not call you servants any longer because servants do not know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends because I've told you everything I heard from my Father. Verse 16 says, you did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endured. He didn't choose me and appoint me to lose. He chose me and appointed me to bear much fruit. He didn't choose me and appoint me to have one grape. He wanted me to have the whole vineyard. He chose me and appointed me to go and bear much fruit. fruit. And so the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name, because I chose you and I appointed you. That's why we got to go back to last Sunday's message and last Wednesday night's message. If you really know that you've been chosen, if you really know that you have been appointed, you will never ever be fearful of boldly approaching the throne of grace, because you know that if he appointed me, my appointment has given me access to go and ask whatever I will in Jesus' name, and the Father has no choice but to give it to me. I got to get in the game because he picked me for this. He picked me for this. Not only did he pick me for it, but he's been preparing me for it. Some of you all, Pastor Jay, I wasn't prepared for this. I ain't never spoke in front of no big crowd. Pastor Jay, I wasn't prepared for this. Who? Me? Give a PowerPoint presentation? Who? Me? Pastor Jay, I don't know how to do this. I don't know. Lord, we're going to have to wait the next year. I don't really know how to do this right now. I'm going to learn, though. And God is saying, what are you waiting on? I've been preparing you for this. Let's look at this scripture. This comes from Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. This is right on the heels of Jesus having a conversation with his disciples. And he's telling them, these things come by fasting and praying. And the Bible said that he leaves from that region and they travel through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there, because he wanted to spend time with his disciples and teach them. Now, for some of you all, that may not be amazingly deep and heavily theological, but let me explain to you why you should be excited about this. If Jesus was on the heels of telling his disciples this only comes from fasting and praying, then that means that this was on the heels of the Father bringing his son to his disciples and the disciples making and agitating the spirit even worse. And so then Jesus had to tell them that I was able to call the spirit out because of fasting and praying. So Jesus say, I see this as a teaching opportunity. So let me take you all from all of these nosy people and let's go to a place. I'm not going to make a whole bunch of noise. I'm not going to check in on Facebook. I'm not going to tweet my location. We're going to get to a private place so I can teach you. So if you're ever presented with this situation again, you'll know which choices to make. I'm still missing all of y'all because that's still too churchy. Let me make it make sense to you. You were upset that while you were going through what you was going through last time, that it seemed like everybody who said that they had your back was nowhere to be found. And God said, I had to remove you from that region. I had to get you into a place where nobody knew where you was, so I could minister to you, so I could talk to you. Because God said it was too many eyes on you and they would not have understood what you were going through. Yeah, they can get a prayer up, but you needed some personal time with me. You needed me to talk to you face to face. I couldn't do it at a convention. I couldn't do it at a conference. I couldn't do it at a revival. I had to push you to a place where you said, I'm getting off of Facebook. I had to push you to a place where you turned off your telephone and you got in my face. And then I was able to talk to you one-on-one and tell you, baby, it wasn't as bad as you think it is. You're still anointed. I still got favor over your life. Dust yourself off. It's going to be all right. But he couldn't tell me in front of nothing-minded people, because they kept wanting to bring up the fact that I messed up. They kept wanting to bring up the fact that I dropped the ball. But I'm glad God took me in a place where none of y'all could see what was going on, where I could get vulnerable with God and say, God, I messed up, but here I am. Help me, make me, mold me. Do what you need to do in my life. Somebody need to open your mouth and say, Lord, thank you for our me time. Bless your Holy Ghost. Give me some more, please. Because see, in that me time, I can cry. And I can have that ugly cry. I don't have to worry about y'all looking at me. You trying to figure out Are they really real? They just playing. When I have that me time, I can be honest with God. And say, God, you told me to love them, but I don't like them. Oh, I'm sorry. I know y'all are just real churchy. Y'all love everybody. You like everybody. But when you really get there, tell me how I supposed to like somebody that I know lying on me. Okay, let's go. This is number three. You need to get in the game. Somebody say, I need to get in the game. Now see, I only got my 21, man, because y'all was kind of low on that, man. They was screaming louder than that for Future last night, and then when you understand what he's saying. Say, I need to get in the game. I need to get in the game because he's promised me greater. Now don't give me that weak, I need to get in the game. I need you to say greater like you know that greater is already yours. All right. If you at home, just post greater online in all caps. You're screaming at us through text. But God has promised me greater. That's why I need to get in the game, because I can't get greater while I'm sitting on the sidelines. I can't get greater with popcorn on my breath. Greater only comes when I get in the game. Brothers, let me get y'all seats. I want y'all to stand up real quick. Scripture says this. How many people do I have in here that believe God? Lift your hands. Let's go to the next slide. Y'all good. Keep your seats right there. This is what the scripture said. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, if not believe because of the things I do. I am telling you the truth. Those who believe in me will do what I do. Yeah. Let me ask you again. How many of y'all believe? Jesus said you'll be able to do what he does. So if you believe, why are you not doing what he said that you should do? Why are you not doing what he said that you could do? Who told you you couldn't walk on water? Who told you you couldn't say grace and your whole family would eat off of one box of church's chicken? Who told you that? But because in your mind, you know that you have, in your mind, you believe more what you can't do than what you can do. That's why our conversation is filled with much more excuses than we have with affirmations. I say, well, I can't do more than what I can do. Man, Lady J sent me this long email, but we're supposed to start off in the morning praying to God and saying that I am, and it's my 98 I ams before we do anything, before we check email, before we get on Facebook, before you brush your teeth. We don't say it together. Because that could be very disrespectful if you're talking and you hadn't brushed your teeth. But you got to wake up in the morning saying, I am. I am a millionaire by divine right. We say that. That is my right. I am not saying any, I'm not making up anything. That is my divine right to walk in this earth and be able to afford whatever I want. I'm a son of the king. Why am I walking around asking somebody who don't believe in God to pay my light bill when he is the light of the world? The reason why I say it before I get out of bed is because I'm conditioning my mind that I won't even have time to say what I can't do, because I've already started my day off telling myself what I can do. And I'm speaking heaven to be my witness that when I open my mouth and say what I can do, I'm just pulling on this scripture, believing that I will be able to do everything that Jesus did. And then the scripture said they will do even greater things. Somebody say, greater. This is y'all interpretation of greater. Start off in this seat. I'm a customer service agent. They give me a promotion. Done came to church, shout it. Cause the Lord is pushing me to greater. So I moved from being a customer service agent to being a team lead.
But you so cuckoo, you just sitting across from where you came from. You hadn't made any progress. You just changed seats. So that's why in the summer you was with your old high school boyfriend. In the fall, you going to your old college boyfriend. We hadn't really moved. We're just changing seats. God said the devil has confused your mind to think that any movement is a movement of greater. For somebody that can catch this and really can appreciate this in your shundo, sometimes not moving and being still is the best movement of greater. But somebody needs to catch this. I'm not comfortable with just moving from seat to seat in the same building when God has called me to be the C, the E, and the O. Is there anybody in here that you know that God has called you to greater and you will not settle for being mediocre anymore? God has called me to greater, so everything that I touch needs to be great. If you don't have a great phone number, don't give it to me, because we're not going to have a great conversation. We're not going to have a great relationship. We're not going to produce no great babies. We're not going to have no great marriage. We're not going to have no great house, because great people can't comprehend the thoughts of small people, and small people definitely can't comprehend the thoughts of great people. Somebody in here needs to be comfortable with being great all by yourself. Y'all sit down, please. The people in the back, they upset. Well, they sit down. Stop being mad that they got great on their breath. You got popcorn on your breath, and they got great on their breath, and you want them to sit down. You should get in the game because he secured protection for you. I sound like I came home still. Now, he secured. Excuse me, I apologize. He secured protection for you. Jesus is talking to his father. And he's talking to his dad. Say, Daddy. And if you all really know the depth of your relationship, it's not being disrespectful that you approach God and you said, Daddy. It's not being disrespectful that you approach God and say, Father, because that's who he is. That's who he is. Look at this. He secured protection for me. Jesus said, Daddy, I'm coming to you, man. I've been here for a while. And while I was down here, you have been keeping them protected through me. Because I made sure didn't nobody hurt them. Ha, my God. The nail should have been for them, because it was Peter who lied, but I took the nail. The nail should have been for them, because Judas was the one that committed treason, but I let them drive the spike through my side. I protected them, but I'm about to leave. But I need you to make sure that when I come to you, you send protection back to them. I need to tell somebody in here, that's the reason why it didn't work, because Jesus already prayed a prayer of protection over you. That's the reason why the car accident didn't kill you, is because Jesus already prayed a prayer of protection over you. It's not that the weapon won't form, but it will. It will not prosper. Do me a favor and touch somebody in here and tell them to keep on moving, because you are protected and you're coming and you're going. You're going to be all right, because there's a hedge of protection around you. Slap somebody, high five in here, and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I believe he's telling you to move, because when you move, there's angels in front of you. When you move, there's angels to the left and to the right. When you move, there's angels beside you. Now touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I'm going to tell you this for the last time. What are you waiting on? Go on and move. I'm done. Let's take this home. do me a favor and say, neighbor, yeah, neighbor, I'm gonna change this game. If nobody else do it, I'll do it by myself. But we do it better together. Can you find somebody in the house that don't mind changing the game with you? Grab them by the hand and say, neighbor, I'm praying for you. You are about to go in uncharted territory. You're about to touch what's never been touched. You're about to see what's never been seen. You're about to have what's never been had. But I got a feeling that everything is gonna be all right. Hey, 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 hey. Touch somebody and say, go then. You have everything you need. You've been cleared for takeoff. Go then. Pursue. Go then. Obtain. Go then. Build your house. Go then. Get the degree. Go then. And watch God do it for you. I don't care if they say you won't have it. Go on and go and move in where God told you to go and do what he told you to do. I need somebody in here to wave your hand and say, God, it's me. I'll do it. I'm putting the team on my back and we will win. Shake a neighbor hand and say, you are a winner. You are a winner. You are a winner. Let's win together. It's not good enough for me to win by myself, but I need some company. When I get to this mountain, it's going to be hard, but I'm going to push you. I'm going to pray for you. I'll even sow into you, but you got to move. Now grab a neighbor and push them on their shoulder. Say, what are you waiting on? What you still looking at? Move. Still looking. Well, you can't afford it. Move. Go drive in the neighborhood. Put your foot on it. Move. Walk in the building. Mark your territory. Move. Take your child back. Move. 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 Hands lifted about the building. Somebody screaming here, I'm a game changer. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you today. Grab the hand of that game changer that's standing next to you. I want you to squeeze that hand.